You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Let's speak to Nehawu spokesperson Kaya Xaba and get his point of view or Nehawu's point of view. Kaya, good afternoon. I'm getting such heartbreaking calls from families who are desperate to just bury their loved ones. My producer tells me that you as Nehawu are not on strike. Tell us what your position is in the saga.
Well, basically, like you said, as now we're not on strike, because when you're on strike, basically you submit a strike notice to the employer and you give the employer 7 days to respond. But in this case, we're not on strike, we're not on a ghost show. Basically, what is happening is that workers are not doing jobs that they're not supposed to do in the first place. So because of the shortage in the department, workers have been doing autopsies, they've been cutting bodies and taking out organs, which is something that you're not supposed to do. Because to do that, you need to be a qualified person and you need to be registered to a particular relevant board in that field. So what happened is not doing that. And what happened was that they spoke to the department and asked the department to remunerate them for that work. And the department refused because they're not qualified. They're not supposed to be doing that. And they were doing that in the first place because of the shortage of people that need to be doing that job. So now workers have stopped doing their job because they're not getting paid for it. And of course, there's other issues that links to it. So there's no strike and also there is no ghost law.
So if I understand you correctly, your members are not qualified to do forensic tests. You are assistants and you have been doing that because you knew there was a backlog. And even as you did that, you were not being remunerated for it.
Yes, not a backlog. There was a shortage of doctors or qualified personnel that is supposed to be doing this job. So these workers are doing it based on experience that they've been working in that field for a very long time. So now they know how to do the job. Then they do it. But then the department refused to remunerate them for doing that job. That's when then workers took the decision that they're not going to continue doing the job because they're not being paid for. So as Nehawu, what we're saying is the department needs to take these people for training. They need to ensure that they get qualifications so that they continue doing the job because already as it is, there's a shortage of doctors who are qualified to do this job.
What do you say to families who are phoning us, Kaya, and saying we are desperate to bury our loved ones? What do you say to them? How can they interpret or respond to the situation that they didn't create?
I've been listening to the show for the past 30 minutes and I'm very heartbroken about the call and the SMSs that you've been reading. This situation shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't ever have taken place. And the blame should fully be put at the door of the department. The department should have put contingency measures in place after the failed meeting that we had with them on Monday, because we tried to find common ground on Monday, but the department refused to budge. And I think the department must be blamed for this. And as Nehawu, we sympathize with the members of families that have been affected by the backlog, who have to postpone funerals, and who have to delay the burying of their loved ones. This is a very tough time when you have to bury a loved one. And it's an extra added pressure when you have to deal with such a situation.
That's Kaya Xaba, Nehawu spokesperson. Let's quickly hear from Dr. Gwen Ramakgopa, who is the Gauteng Health MEC. MEC, good afternoon to you. How do you account for this, particularly the fact that people who are not trained to do these complex tests and investigations have been doing that because there's been a shortage?
Rudy, good afternoon. Good afternoon to listeners and my colleague from Nehawu. I just want to start by extending our deepest condolences to the families of the bereaved. And also regret that they had to really also be subjected to this inconvenience due to this dispute. I want to assure you that and the public that we have spared no effort to try and reduce this inconvenience. And today I'm also very encouraged that after speaking to Minister of Health and Minister of Defence, the military health personnel officers are available to start assisting us with the 200 or so backlog that we've occurred. So I hope that in the next 2 days or so, this matter will be resolved. for the public. But coming back to the underlying problem,
please.
I want to acknowledge indeed that the dispute is that the officers who are assisting pathologists are saying, are working, we call it a work to rule strike. It's a strike, but it's not a full strike. Their unhappiness is that they say they are not paid for what you call dissection and evisceration. I must say that when the officers were transferred from the South African Police Services to the Department of Health, the officers were doing dissection and evisceration. And their remuneration was based on all the work that they were doing. And subsequently, the Department of Health, as part of improving the quality of the service, introduced the need to do training, and a course has been developed. And the challenge has been that there hasn't been a higher education institution that has as yet offered to provide this, and we are in negotiation. But having said that, we're committed to workers, and we still are committed to our workers whose valuable services we really appreciate in the best interest of the public. We're committed to also subject them to prior learning, because many of them have been doing this for over a period of 10 years. So there is a policy in the country of recognition of prior learning. So that is where things are. But the other additional thing which we acknowledge really is that the negotiated remuneration system that did not work out for this group of employees. And these are the things that we would like to speedily resolve with the workers. We have committed, and I think since the meeting of Monday, we have confirmed through the accounting officer that we will, those that do not have not had the danger allowance affected in their salaries, that will be affected, and that we will also, with immediate effect, provide counseling and debriefing services for the employees. So, and we will also be changing the structure of remuneration, because many of them had reached a ceiling because the system of OSD, I think when the occupation-specific dispensation came up, everybody thought the OSD is the best system. But we realized that some of them reached a ceiling and they haven't. So we are also reviewing that system. So we are pleading to our workers that we should suspend the work to rule strike and continue doing what we're doing whilst we are finalizing this matter. The other matters are at the National Bargaining Council, and the unions are represented as yet there. So we really are committed to resolving the concerns of the workers.
But obviously your workers don't trust you, because they wouldn't have embarked on the strike. They don't trust that you are doing something about this. And you sound very familiar with all the problems, as you have so eloquently highlighted. But the fact of the matter is that we are in this situation. The workers have down tools. Families are waiting for bodies. You're saying you are going to effect danger pay. You are acknowledging that some had reached a ceiling. Why did you not do something about it? It seems like you were treating your workers and these families with disdain.
Really, I'm the first to accept and to acknowledge that the communication could have been better. And the department was aware, both at the provincial and national level, of the concerns of the workers. And even though the department was doing something, there has not been adequate communication. And the best thing is for both employer and employee to have joint committees to work together, so that we don't have a communication breakdown. I'm the first to acknowledge that the communication could have been better, and that is the cost of their trust deficit.
I do want to give some credit to the workers. Would they take such a radical step because communication was poor? The reality is that you were not doing anything about the matters that they were raising. It's not just about communication. You were not acting.
I think they are also aware, but as we speak, the National Health Council Technical Committee, which is the committee of the DG at the national level and the provincial HODs, earlier on in this year did discuss this matter. It was on the agenda, and the issue of danger allowance is also in the bargaining chamber as well, national bargaining chamber as we speak. So I'm not justifying anything because this is not the time to justify anything. It's the time to work together as the employer representative and the employee representative to find a solution in the best interest of our country. We have no other country. We need to work together.
But it's also a time to show some compassion. It's also a time to show some compassion for families affected, and also to acknowledge where you went wrong, because to reduce this to a communication matter tells me that you are not honestly admitting to the scale of the problem. It tells me that the workers have been raising these things and you have not been listening to them. And it tells me also that some workers have been doing work for which they were not properly trained and qualified and remunerated.
Really, I want to acknowledge that the communication was not efficient, it was not effective, and that there is a basis for the trust deficit. That I've acknowledged. I'm also aware that there was also a court case that also dealt with the dispute sometime last year. So I am aware, and I want to acknowledge, and I acknowledge to workers. I went to one of the facilities. I humbled myself. I listened to their side of the story as well, and I acknowledged to them that the communication could have been better. And I pleaded to them that, yes, we know that they don't. There is trust deficit. I committed to working with them to ensure there is trust deficit. I've asked the head of department to work towards requesting for a provincial bargaining council so that these commitments that I'm making public could be reduced in something in writing, because the bargaining council is where the employer and the employees are equal and are governed by the labor relations.
Well, they took this desperate act
in the best interest of serving our people.
But your people don't feel served, MEC. The people don't feel served. Those who are waiting to bury their loved ones don't feel served. And I'm trying to say to you that you've reduced this to a communication issue, and I'm saying it is bigger than that. You have simply ignored the workers and allowed this crisis to just fester. And you're also not answering my question about these workers raising a legitimate issue that we are just assistants, we're not forensic pathologists. So there is a major issue with shortage. What have you done about it?
Really, I hear you. You are raising two issues. The first issue is whether or not it is beyond communication. I'm not talking about communication in a light way. I'm talking about communication, perhaps working together. That's why I'm suggesting that a joint committee may be the best. I'm suggesting that a platform where employer and employees are equal, like a bargaining chamber, would be the best way to ensure that there is it's not only coming, but we work together to resolve this matter in an amicable way. I didn't talk about communication very lightly, but the fullness of it, including continuous involvement, ensuring participation, seeking continuous input in its depth, not lightly. I acknowledge that there was a challenge there. The second issue is that what I'm trying to say is that I think our officers need to be just mindful that. It is not that they don't have the the expertise. And that is why we are saying recognition of prior learning, the expertise they have. You know, really, it's like the case of the gentleman who assisted Chris Barnard to transplant. It is more that case that there is a need to ensure recognition of prior learning.
And remunerate those people, because you haven't recognized it. That's the point. You're saying there's a need. We all agree. You're pointing something that's obvious. I'm saying you haven't recognized it before. That's why they feel their dignity has been eroded. That's why they are on strike today. That's why they're saying you're not paying them for work that they are doing and recognizing their expertise. But MEC, we have run out of time. Families are waiting for their loved ones. When can they get those bodies back? When can this be resolved?
As I've said, whilst we are engaging with workers, we have sought the support of the military, what they call operation medics, to assist the forensic doctor. And in the next, they have begun to work today. And what I'm asking families to do is to call and to find out whether the postmortems of their loved ones have been done. And in this regard, also just to remind the public that we are asked as forensic services to do this by the law for all unnatural deaths, and also by the investigating officers where there are, cases that investigating officers feel they require this service.
All right, we'll leave it there. Dr. Gwen Ramakgopa, the Gauteng Health MEC.